You've just heard the Passion narrative. There are four of them, one in each of the Gospels. And it would seem that they are the earliest part of the Gospels to receive a final form. The Gospels in some ways evolved over a fairly short period of time, and their fundamental bit, as it were, was the bit you've just heard. Now, that makes it sound as though this is what was proclaimed from the housetops, that this was the very essence and centre of the Christian religion, if this was the first bit that was reduced to writing in this way. But that's not quite true. It's not so much the crucifixion that was proclaimed from the housetops, but the resurrection. The resurrection was the thing which the early church proclaimed to an astonished world, I suppose I could put it like that, as they themselves had been astonished by it. It wasn't something which in the end they had expected. But the crucifixion is an essential part, if you like, of the resurrection. They go together. Obviously, there can be no resurrection without the crucifixion. But nevertheless, the crucifixion has a greater significance than just it came first, as it were. Because it gives the context for the resurrection, and it gives the context for the way in which human beings are. Now, in the trial before Pilate, Jesus says, "For truth I came into the world." And that's something which is often overlooked. People think, well, he came into the world for love and joy and happiness and things of that kind, and to defeat evil and so on. All of that's no doubt true. But he came into the world, he says, according to the Gospel of St. John, for truth. And this truth is the truth of just exactly who we are, what we are, what we're for, what life is all about. This is demonstrated to us in these last days, in the Passion, the Crucifixion, and the Resurrection. These things are about us, and about who and what we are, and what our destiny is. Now, if you were to turn through the pages of the Old Testament and compare them with the pages of the New, apart from the fact that one is much longer than the other, and rather more violent in some ways than the other, the most important thing to my mind is that the New Testament is about the life of the world to come in a way that the Old Testament just isn't. The Old Testament is about the way in which we live in this world, according to the law of Moses, according to the 613 commandments of the Torah. The Old Testament is about now. And really, those who wrote it and those who believed in it at the time saw the death as the end of any real kind of life. What would come after would be a shadowy half-life in Sheol or Hades or wherever else. But the New Testament is absolutely filled with the idea that human beings are designed for and made for a world beyond this one. That the purpose of human life is the world beyond this one. And here we see the way in which this world, as it were, comes about. That God comes into this world in order to bring that world to us. He does so at whatever possible pain is necessary for him in his earthly life. This is so important, so absolutely essential to the well-being of his creation, that he is prepared to endure for himself the actual loss of life, the loss of eternal life, the putting aside of eternity and glory and happiness and all that. Indeed, it seems the putting aside of all meaning and hope and purpose is put aside by God himself in order that this hope and life and purpose and glory and so on should be made ready and available to us. Now, it seems to me that that's not what we're proclaiming in the church at the present time. We have diminished all this. We see the purpose of the church as being, as it is in the Old Testament, about this life. Let's have justice, let's have peace, let's have prosperity, let's have the things which the Old Testament goes on about, and quite rightly so. But once they become the principal thing, then they become an idol. And we see that in the crucifixion, Christ is destroyed for destroying idols. We see that he himself is denounced and put down by the very people who should have been supporting him, the very ones who knew about God and his will and all that, who should have been open As he himself said, "He who is of the truth hears my voice." Well, they didn't hear it. They didn't want to hear it, because they had something else instead which was deafening them. And that was their understanding of the way in which human beings are essentially designed for this world. And that this world is the final and proper and complete life of a human being. But it isn't. And we have to have the courage to realize that, yes, the Christian religion is indeed otherworldly. It is about pie in the sky when you die. And this may be enormously unfashionable, especially, of course, in the church, especially from those set over us who know better than the pages of the New Testament what it's all about. This sort of thing is now just symbolic, it's only representative. I remember a clergy wife saying to me at a clergy get-together, "Oh, Carl, you don't believe in life after death, do you?" What about those lovely patronizing smiles? I felt like saying to her, "Well, you'll find out in due course and you might not like it." But I didn't really want to say anything quite like that. And indeed I don't. Because the glory which is to be revealed is the very essence of what our human nature is about. This is what we're designed for. A car is designed to take you from one place to another. Human beings are designed to leave this world for a better one. It's not that this world is no good. It is that this world has a purpose, which is not itself, but a purpose far greater than it might appear. And so the passion of Christ is an appalling price to pay for God, a huge price to pay, an unbelievable price to pay. The very source of life lays down his life. The very source of all bliss and joy becomes miserable and sad and lost and despairing. It must be wonderful what's to come. If that was the price that had to be paid for it, what is to come must be unbelievably wonderful. And it's that the church needs to proclaim to the world. And it's that which is revealed in the Garden of the Resurrection. Only, of course, to those who wish to hear the voice of truth. But it's about time, perhaps, that the voice of truth spoke a little bit louder. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.